We are at the end of the season of Advent. Actually, it goes till to Christmas Eve. But as you see, the four candles are lit now. And during this holy season, we have been waiting with eager expectation for the coming of the Lord. The Advent season that we went through, we saw it was full of mysteries, wonders at all, and yet a very simple story. In this season, we saw a virgin and an old woman, Elizabeth, with child. They were pregnant. One of the babies was destined to prepare the way for the other. Both babies, as we know, brought joy to their mothers. We don't know much about Joseph or Zachary, but we can imagine how nervous they have been trying to make some sense of what was happening. Elizabeth and John in her womb understood a little bit what was happening. John, the gospel says, leapt for joy when Mary visited Elizabeth. The gospel is a gospel of hope. We see Joseph, the carpenter, tired maybe, and nervous at the same time. Sounds like me, I guess. Anyway, he went to take a nap. Believe it or not, when he was sleeping, the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, came to him. Get up, Joseph. It's time to take Mary to your home. Is everybody up? Now, time to take the collection then. Anyway, Joseph, get up. You have a great mission waiting for you. Don't be afraid to take Mary into your home, for she is pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, being obedient, he got up. And the gospel says he took Mary into his home. The gospel makes us assured that fear and God do not go together. It assures us that God is greater than fear. Be not afraid. This enabled Mary to tell the angel, "Let it be done to me as you say." Enabled Joseph to get up from his nap and go fetch Mary and bring her into his home. You remember John Paul II, St. John Paul II, when he was full of life, every time he goes to visit a country, the first thing he said to the people, "Be not afraid. Fear not, or be not afraid," occur many, many times in the Holy Scriptures. And each time, the one who heard them is assured of God's power. God said to Abraham, "Fear not. I'm going to sign and make a covenant with you." An angel said to Zechariah, John's father, "Fear not, your wife, Elizabeth, is going to have a son, and you are to name him John." And to Mary, of course, Gabriel, same thing. "Fear not, Mary. You have been selected, chosen, to be the mother of the Son of God. Fear not." And then Mary said, let it be done to me as you say. Jesus walking on the water later on, his disciples went fishing. Finally, they see this man coming, walking on the water, and they all cried out, it's a ghost. Jesus said, fear not, it is I. Same thing on the Mount Tabor when Jesus was transfigured, when his face became like the sun and his clothes dazzling white. His disciples fell down to the floor, John, James, and Peter. The vision over, Jesus said to them, get up, fear not, let's go down the mountain. We find also the angel appeared to Mary Magdalene at the tomb. He is not here, he is risen. Do not be afraid. And an angel at the nativity of Jesus told the shepherds, fear not, today a Savior is born. In all these events, the people had a valid reason to be afraid. The divine made contact with humanity. Well, what an awesome mystery. Divinity joined humanity. The law, it could be, but that fear stays with us because we are human. How does fear not speak to the loss of a job? How does this phrase, fear not, make us to cope with sickness, a loss of a loved one, or about justice, war and violence going all around us? How does do not be afraid fits in our lives? The answer is clear. Believers should not live in fear or allow fear to stifle their spirits and drown their hopes. Why? Because through it all, God is with us. The season of hope, Advent, God is with us. At the heart of Christianity, there is God. Remember that God, and this is really great, God trusted his only Son to the human race. He was denied by his own people. He was exiled. He was betrayed by one of his disciples. He ended up dying a death of a slave. And Jesus then, of course, he entrusted himself to 12 fishermen. If God can trust human beings with his only Son, can we do anything less than trust God with our own lives? We need the divine assurance that every sorrow and tragedy must come to an end. The difficulties of the human condition cannot continue forever. Just before Jesus was born, who showed up to give hope to the people? John the Baptist. Now, for 400 years before that, the birth of Jesus, for 400 years, the prophetic voice was silent. No connection between the people and God. 400 years. And the people felt, my God, what happened? God abandoned us. all of a sudden, the appearance of John the Baptist in the desert prepared the way. Get up from your slumber, prepare the way. The Lord is very near. Of course, when we say Lord, we mean Savior, Redeemer, the love of God personified. We need the divine assurance at every sorrow and tragedy. Strangely enough, the book of Revelation, the last book of Revelation, in fact, starts with certainty in its second last chapter. It says, God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, or mourning, crying, or pain anymore for the runner, for the new world came into being. The former world has passed away. Just as the fact of pain remains a mystery, neither can we determine ahead of time the kind of joy and peace and happiness waiting for us. See, God is very close to his people. We might not try to find him, but he is always with us. St. Augustine of Hippo says, God is only one act of contrition away from the greatest sinner in the world. So, hope. No one can give up on God. And look at all of us. When we came to God, we have been called by God. There are sinners among us, beside with me. We are all sinners, Scripture says. And yet God took everything, all our weaknesses, all our sinfulness, put them in a bag, kind of, and then he took them out to the ocean and buried that. Not enough. Put a big sign. No fishing allowed. Forgotten. Forgiven. See, we're human, we may forgive, right? But we don't forget. Well, I forgive you, all right, but you're not going to do this again to me, you know. God is not like that. God forgives and forgets. And that's why we have such a great mission of hope. This Christmas, give that hope to those around you first, your family, telling them that you trust them, you love them, because they are, like you, brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. And then we are to pray that this hope given to us be accepted by all people. We can't get away from God because our heart seeks him. It is Augustine again who says, our heart, the human heart, is so small you can hold it in the palm of your hand. And yet, he says, all the riches of the world, fame, cannot satisfy our quest for peace. Why? Because it has been created by an infinite being, and only God, who is infinite, can give us that peace and justice that we desire. So this Christmas, of course, we are to enjoy what God gives us, what Jesus gives us. Enjoy, you know, your gifts. Enjoy your families and friends. But remember, that first and foremost, you have to have hope. No one should be without hope. The small and the great alike, the rich and the poor, the healthy and the sick. There is hope. Be not afraid. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You're not going to see this anymore, you know, man. It doesn't work anyway, huh?